Kofres Ador, Thursday the 22nd of March, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt, Parshas HaChodesh, the Power of Chiddush. Sunday's program is extended, and from Monday onwards till after Pesach, we shall be in Machazik Yadav whilst they complete the renovations of the shul.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Okay, this week being Parshas HaChodesh, so I thought it appropriate to speak about what is the inyan, what is the idea of why, number one, why we read Parshas HaChodesh, what is the significance of reading the Parsha of HaChodesh Ezeh Lachem, which means we know that we read other Parshas. We read Shkolim, we've read Zohar, we've read Parshas Parah, and the last of them is Parshas HaChodesh. And all of this is a preparation for Chodesh Nisan. So why is Parshas HaChodesh necessary to, as our preparation for Chodesh Nisan, and obviously to the Yom Tov of Pesach? That's number one. Well, if you look at Parshas HaChodesh in the Torah, it comes up in a very strange place. Because in the middle of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we're going through the details, we've had one makkah after the other, and finally we await the last of the makkahs. We're waiting for makkahs b'chayyus. In the middle of, literally in the middle of the story of the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we find suddenly a mitzvah appears. A mitzvah, as we read this Shabbat, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'emor." Moshe and Aaron, we're told, in Mitzrayim, after this is a mitzvah given in Mitzrayim, HaChodesh Ezeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, this Chodesh should be for you as the first of the month, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh HaShonah, the first for you for the Chodesh HaShonah. In fact, the Mepharshim bring down, there are two mitzvahs in Kiddush HaChodesh. Mitzvah number one is to be Mekadosh the Chodesh, i.e. the mitzvah of people to come to the Beis Din and say they've seen the new moon, to be Mekadosh the Chodesh. There's actually a second mitzvah also in this pasuk, which is what's called Ibur Shana. Ibur Shana means to be able to add the extra leap month, the month that actually we have in a leap year, the extra month that actually brings together the solar and the lunar calendar. It's also learned from this very same pasuk, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh HaShonah. It is the first of the Chadashim, but it's also part of this, of the Shana, of the year of the sun. So there's two mitzvahs. So what are these mitzvahs doing right in the middle of the parasha of Yetzias Mitzrayim? In fact, this is the parasha, of course, the parasha that we read on Pesach. We speak about the Yetziah. This is now the instructions that Hashem gives for the Korban Pesach, and then how to eat the Korban Pesach, what to do with the blood of the Korban Pesach. And of course, then the Torah tells us what actually happened on the night that the Ribbon Shalom struck all the firstborns, and finally we went out of Mitzrayim. But it seems very strange that in this context we have the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. It's a mitzvah in the middle. Why? What is this mitzvah doing? The Torah is very mitzvah. There is a place, a time and a place for everything. We have the mitzvahs later on. We have many mitzvahs that come. This is the first mitzvah, number one, that's given to Klal Yisrael. Kiddush HaChodesh. So why is this the opening mitzvah to give to Klal Yisrael? I would understand, of course, we know HaSefer Dibros, HaMeich HaShem HaLekecha, those types of fundamentals, but Kiddush HaChodesh is a mitzvah. Kiddush HaChodesh, Ibur Shona, it's a mitzvah, but why is that the first mitzvah to give to Klal Yisrael? And why is it that it was necessary to give it to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim? Wait till we come out of Mitzrayim, we've experienced the nisim, and then sit down and say, okay, here's a mitzvah. and give us mitzvahs keseder, as we find later on, of course, in the parashas and the shtotim, the chulah v'chulah. And here we have one mitzvah, or perhaps two mitzvahs, as we're pointing out, two mitzvahs that were given, and we didn't wait until after Mitzrayim. We have to have them in Mitzrayim, and these are the first mitzvahs that the Jewish people hear as the Jewish people. Why are they so fundamental, and what are they doing in the middle of the story of the Jewish Mitzrayim? It completely seems out of place. In fact, everybody tries to start Chumash Rashi. We all try every year. Everyone says we usually make a kapola. I'm going to do Chumash Rashi. We want to learn Chumash Rashi. How can we not learn Chumash Rashi? So we usually get this thesaurus, and we sit down. At least the open Bereishis. So that means hopefully most of us would have seen the opening Rashi on the Torah. That far, hopefully we got. And Rashi tells us Bereishis Balakim Hashemayim Es Ha'aretz. On the Rabbi Yitzchak, lo haya toich lahaskil es ha-Torah, elo me'achodesh ez elochem. The Torah should have begun from this very parasha that we're going to read the Shabbat. Achodesh ez elochem, that should have been the beginning of the Torah. Shehi mitzvah shayna, she mitzvah v'yisrael, this is the first mitzvah given to Kelal Yisrael. And famously Rashi says, ma'atam posach the Bereishis, so what's with the whole of Bereishis? Mishum koach ma'isov tigid la'amoy la'sois la'am nachras goyim. And Rashi goes on to say, as the non-Jewish people say to the Jewish people, listem atem, you're a bunch of thieves, shekibashtem arsei shiva goyim, you've taken the nation belonging to the seven nations. So we say to them, Hashem created the whole world. Who borrowed the nothing Hashem Yosha Be'enov? He created it, gave it to whoever he saw fit. Originally he gave it to them, but the Tzayna, not the man, not the man, he gave it to us afterwards. One of the most difficult Rashi's in the whole Torah. Very difficult to understand what's going on, the back and the forth between giving it to them, they'll say this and we'll say that. But what I'd like to focus on is Rashi tells us that the Torah should have begun from Achodesh Ez Elochem, our mitzvah. Again, so fundamental, it's our mitzvah, and so why does he do it? Well, okay, it doesn't start for another reason. We start with Bereishis. So we see it's not just another mitzvah. It's obviously something very fundamental. The Klal Yisrael, this is the first mitzvah. This is the Torah should have begun, and that would have been without question. We'd have no questions on why the Torah begins on Achodesh Ez Elochem. Everything would be clear. So we need to understand what is so special in the mitzvah of Achodesh Ez Elochem. Why is this the first mitzvah? The Torah should have begun with this. And why that's in the middle of the story of the Sippi Tzias Mitzvah? Couldn't we wait? Couldn't we hear this mitzvah after the Yitzhiyah? Why in the middle of, bound up with the Makas Bokhoyot, we find the mitzvah of Achodesh Ez Elochem? So what I'd like to show you today is ideas that I heard from my Rebbe, from the Moshe Shapiro Shlita, who explained to us the fundamental principle of Achodesh Ez Elochem and why it comes here. So in order to understand this, we have to do a little bit of research and a bit of insight into the battle between Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro, he tells Paro it's time to let the Jewish people go, and he says, he comes b'shem Hashem, in the name of Hashem, and Paro famously says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshmo V'Kolo. Who is Hashem? He's not interested in this higher being that controls everything. Paro said of himself, we're very happy with what we've got here. Mitzrayim is called Mitzrayim famously because it's Mitzar Yam. It's the constraints of the 50th level. That means the 50th level, which always represents that which is beyond. We chant 49 days of Shavuot Omer and we finally receive the Torah on the 50th day. Mitzrayim is the Mitzar, is the constraint of that level. Which means that the way they looked at the world was a very Gashmiistic viewpoint. They were interested in the world in and of itself purely for their own sake. Purely for what can we get out of this world? What serves us best? And they weren't interested in a higher being, Hashem, Yudke, Vavke, they weren't interested in that. They wanted to know, you know, what serves us. So they'd even use magic and all anything else they could get their hands on that would serve them. Paro looked at himself as a god. They were all serving themselves. The Shlach HaKadosh brings down that Paro is Gematria 355, which is the Gematria of Shana, a year. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean, Paro's Gematria Shana? There's a danger in the word Shana. Now, we know Shana means a year, but Shana also means to repeat. And the reason for that is very simple. The year is a cycle. It comes round again. The orbit, we've made a full circle, so we come round again to that time in the year. There is a measure of a year. It's a physical phenomena that we find, we've come round again. What is it in Paroi that is equal to a Shana, to a year? So explained with Moshe Shapiro that Paro stood for the idea of a circle. A Shana, a circle in orbit. What's the idea? When you have even one small measure of a circle, one small curve of a circle, you can predict the entire circle. Once you've got one line, one curve, you can draw the entire circle. Which means that they were only interested in life, what they can see, and what can be predicted. It's all a circle. It's all self-contained. When the Rambam in the Sefer Torah brings down, he discusses nature. The Rambam calls nature, and he discusses the orbits. He calls them galgalim. The galgalim, i.e. the orbits of the sun, the moon, the stars, etc., that is how he describes nature. Because everything works in perfect orbit. It's all self-contained. It's a circle. In fact, that's why in Torah, a circle usually is a negative concept, a circle. we find that, because a circle is the idea of being locked in. You see everything just coming round and round again. And it's predictable, it's sofri meirosh, in the Lashon of the Mishnah. You can predict it, everything. And that's what Egypt was interested in. In fact, the other name for the other nation that also was interested in just purely the physical was Greece, and they're called Yavon, which is Gematria of Galgal. Galgal, which means the circle, Galgal, it goes around and around and around, is Gematria Yavon. Also, it's the same idea. So Mitzrayim look to circle everything off. Everything is constricted within a circle because they say everything's all predicted. We have science, we have nature, what do I need anything else for? Lamaisa, we live in a world of Mitzrayim nowadays. A world where that's exactly what the world also says. We can predict everything. Give me something, I'll analyze it, I'll predict it for you, I'll tell you how it works, and therefore, what do I need anything outside of the system? Everything is self-contained. That is the Shana, the repetition of the year that comes down. Shana Miloshen Shinui comes down again, again and again. Shana. Everything comes down. Shana, once again, we come around again, a second time, and another time, and another time. However, that's why the Umos Olam, they measure according to the sun. They measure according to the sun. They have the solar calendar. We have the lunar calendar. What's the lunar calendar? We measure according to the moon. Chazal compare us, we are compared to the moon. What is the moon? The moon waxes and wanes, it increases in size and then disappears. And then we have the Maylad, the total new birth of the, we call it the new moon. And every Chodesh, we experience the new moon, which is something which is totally new. And the idea of something new is to, that to not be trapped by the way the world first appears. The world appears like it's a Shana. Everything goes round and round and round. We can predict it. One little part of the circle, I can predict the rest of the circle. The toughness of a year is to understand that in every Shana, there's a Chodesh, i.e. Chodesh, the month, or Miloshen Chidush, something which is new. Because Klal Yisrael stands for breaking that circle. To break the circle of nature, to smash it by seeing that everything is new. We say it all the time. We say it in davening, Ribbono Shel Olam, is Mechadesh, Betuvoi, B'chol Yom Tomid. my separation. The Chol Yom Tomim, Hashem is Machadesh all the time. What do you mean Hashem is Machadesh? Does it look like Hashem is Machadesh? It looks like the world runs on its own accord. It looks like it's a Shana, it goes round and round and round. But Parei is Gematria Shana, in the notion of the Shlot, i.e. Mitzrayim stood for the circle. We stand for Chiddush. We come to the message, with the message to the world, that actually, what looks like it's a Shana, what looks like it's just a repetition and coming around again, actually is a Chiddush. Every moment is a Chiddush. Machadesh betuvah b'chol yom tov ma'aseh separation. And this is such a sadistic principle, so important, that this is the foundation of the whole of the Jewish people. To understand that we are not a people of nature. Nature, the way it looks, the way it is perceived by the outside eye, looks like a repetition. We understand that it's Kiddush. You know, at the time he gave a beautiful moshul to understand this idea of Chiddush within nature. We know, we always take candles. At any event we could possibly think of, we often light a candle. At Shabbos, we light candles. But at a chasna, you go to the chuppah with candles. Chanukah is candles. Whenever there's a Siddur mitzvah, there's an Indian to light candles. We're always lighting candles. Because we know, Ne'er Hashem, Nishmas Adam, the neshama of a person is compared to a candle. But Rav Moshe said once a beautiful thing. He said, if you look at a candle, you'll see that what we were talking about here, you'll see the terach of Chiddush. Why? He says, imagine looking at a candle, and there's no wind, there's nothing. The candle looks the way it is. So, at first glance, what do you see? You see a constant, you see a candle, you see either oil that is burning, or you see a wax candle, you see a constant flame. But if you think about what you're looking at, you realize that what you're looking at is actually a flame that every moment is being fueled by another element of oil, another drop of oil, and another drop of oil. So even though it looks like a constant flame, really what you're seeing is a new flame every second. It's possible that's what you're seeing. But you don't have to be a genius. You know, as soon as the oil, the last drop runs out, there's no flame anymore. So really what you're seeing is a constant flame that looks like it's just constantly there. But anybody who thinks about it realizes it's Machadish Matilda. Every moment it's flickering into existence. It just does such a good job of it that you don't see it flickering into existence. You see it as a constant thing. So too, that's the whole world. The whole world, the Loshon Chazal tells us, the Medrash says in Lech Lecha, it's a Bira Beilekes. It's a place on fire. It's a house on fire. What does it mean it's on fire? Every moment, it's burning up. It looks like, it's just, looks natural. No. Every moment is another flame that is being fueled by Hashem. That's Mechadesh B'tuvah B'chol Yom Tomim. And this is the battle between Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. And Klal Yisrael therefore are born, not by natural means, by supernatural means. We're not born in a natural way. If the tachlis of Yitzias Mitzrayim, if they get us out of Mitzrayim, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam could have done a far simpler job. Taking us out, across the border, yeah, provided an Amun HaKavod, and finished. We would have been protected, that's it. That's not the mitzvah. We know the mitzvah of Sukkot Yitzias Mitzrayim, as the Rambam brings down, is the Afka to speak about the Nisim V'Nifloys. Why do we need Nisim V'Nifloys? We need Nisim V'Nifloys. Just take us out. Because the tachlis wasn't to take us out of Mitzrayim, the tachlis was to demonstrate Hashem's power over the whole Bria. Nisim V'Nifloys were intrinsic to that, to show you that there's nothing that is beyond the control of Hashem. There's nothing that is outside of Hashem's domain. It looks natural, but that's just the external. Really, it's a Bira Delekes. Really, it's a flame. Really, it's not Shana. It's Kiddush. And therefore, the Jewish people have to be born Mitoich Nisim Mitzrayim. And that's why the mitzvah of Achodesh Hazeh comes right here, in the beginning, in the middle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, you should know, you're about to be born. The Jewish people are about to be born. And I say about to be born, the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, that the Jewish people are described coming out of Mitzrayim like a child being born. You're being born, that means this is a new entity that is coming out of the old Mitzrayim, so there's a new entity called the Jewish people. And you're going to stand for Chiddush. That's what the Jewish people are going to stand for. It's not going to be about seeing the Shana again and again repeating itself. It's going to be about Chiddush, about seeing the newness in everything. Not just with the Nisim and the Flies. Of course we saw Nisim and the Flies from Mitzrayim. And anybody who saw those Nisim and the Flies had to be made that there's a Rebbeinu Shalom. But the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo tells us that the whole Tachlis of the Yetzias Mitzrayim was mitoch those incredible Nisim to realize that every single thing that happens to us, there's nothing which is natural about this world. Nothing which is natural. It looks natural, but it's all supernatural. And that's the Tachlis of Mitzrayim, to realize from the Nisim which are Giluyim that everything is missing this time. And therefore there's two mitzvahs here. Mitzvah number one, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, the idea of the Mekadesh the Chodesh, to realize that we count according to the Chodesh. Everything is new. That's mitzvah number one. And then there's mitzvah number two. Rishon Hu Lachem, L'Chodesh HaShana. It's the first of the month, L'Chodesh HaShana. There's a mitzvah of Ibur Shana. Your tachlis is to put the Chodesh back into the Shana. I.e., make sure that the sun and the moon, they're in sync. You have to add an extra month. You have to make sure that the Chiddush that Klal Yisrael come to teach the world, that everything is Chiddush, everything is new, you have to put that back into the Shana. Put it back into the orbit that goes round and around. Teach the world this concept. And therefore we find the first Rashi in the Torah tells us, the Torah, which is speaking to Klal Yisrael, should have begun with a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. That's Klal Yisrael's Mahus. We stand for Chiddush. That's who we really are. That's where the Torah should begin. Why does the Torah begin with Bereshit? That's the second part. That's Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh HaShana. Because we have to realize, we have to take the power of Chiddush, but put it back into the Shana. The Umay for Olam, they measure according to the sun. We measure according to the moon. But we have to take the message of the moon, the power of Chiddush, and put it back into the natural world of the sun. So actually there are two time zones in the world. Torah begins with Bereshit Bo Elokim. The Gra tells us, the Sfarno tells us, Bereshis. Reshis means time. Bereshis. That's the beginning. Bereshis means the beginning of something. Reshis, the beginning, means the beginning of. So the Gra and the Sfarno, it means time. But that's time of the Umos Olam, as it were, of the physical world. Now, we come across HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, your time. The time of the Jewish people. I.e., the Chiddush that we bring to the world, which, by the way, is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. It's an unbelievable thing. Klal Yisrael say, today is Rosh Chodesh, or tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. And based on what Klal Yisrael say, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to either say, 15 days later, it's in the Issa, Chiv Kores Ikhomet, or not, right, depending on what day it is. So Rebbeinu Shlomo, he will act in time with what we actually decide. That's how far to understand this Tayach of Chiddush that we live in. We live in a world of Chiddush, and the Rebbeinu Shalom actually gives us the tools of Chiddush itself. And we can be Mechadesh to Chiddush. Ad Kadeh, that Hashem is going to say, Yom Kippur or Pesach follows whatever we decide. But the point is to put that Chiddush back into the Shana. Back into the Shana, which is the natural world. So the Rashis of the Bria, the Rashis of Elokim, that's time as we know it, that's the physical world. But the Torah, which is for Klal Yisrael, should begin with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Why does it begin with Bereshis? That's really Tayach Maisav Higid La'amai. That means to tell the non-Jewish world, to tell the whole physical world, that you should know there is no such thing as the physical world. Mitoch Nisim Giluyim. From the revealed miracles, we experience the hidden miracles. That's the tachlis of Yetzirat Mitzrayim. And that's why I have to come here, right in the middle of the Sukkah Yetzirat Mitzrayim, right at the beginning. This is the first mitzvah that has to be given to Klal Yisrael, because this is the nature of who we're going to be. The Jewish people are born at this point. We're born with the concept of Chiddush. It's interesting to note that every kehillah, most kehillahs in Klal Yisrael, they dance on one occasion a month. Not major, perhaps not a major dance, but everybody is minhag, is noyeg, to do some sort of shuffle at Kiddush Levana. Right? In Kiddush Levana, there we are, we're noyeg to... Thank you. We're knowing to have some sort of dance. And the question is, why? What's the occasion? You know, a lot of kehillahs, it's very hard to get people to actually even do some sort of dance. And this is the minimum everybody does Kiddush Levana. It's cold, it's cold. So, what do we say? This is what we say in the Bracha. In the Bracha of Kiddush Levana, we say, we know that we are compared to the sun. Chotuz man nochlem shalei shemes tavkidom. He said, "Levana Oma." Hashem said to the Levana, "Shetischadesh ateres tiferes laamusei boten." This is the glory of the amusei boten. It's like the expression of a pregnancy. Shehem afidim lischadesh kemaisa. That the Klal Yisrael are going to be born mechadosh, like the moon. We are compared to the moon, and we say, "Bachad Hashem mechadesh chadoshim." You know. We also say later on in Kiddush Levana, the Yiratim of Reach Hashem Lakav Lakav, the Sai Lemala is Pegima Salavana, the Leye Bashum Mir, the Ara Levana Kaora Chama, who Kaora Shiva Sime Voracious. You know that Chazal tell us initially they were both Mo'erim that were Gedalim, they were great lights, and Hashem was Mama'i, the light of the moon. And what that means is that Klal Yisrael are compared to the Levana, we are the moon. It has to shine the light of the sun. What is the moon? The moon reflects the light of the sun. Reflects the light of the sun in the darkness. What is Klal Yisrael? To reflect the light of Hashem in this world, which is Daiman Alayla, which is a dark world. And just like that moon has got a tachlis, so too we have a tachlis. But what's going to happen is, one day, there's going to be a revelation of the light of Hashem, and the Ora Levana is going to become like the Ora Chama. It's the Ora Shiva Smebereshiv. And the reason why we celebrate is because perhaps this month will be the moon that will go and continue to grow and continue to grow and not wane at all. And therefore, Klal Yisrael measure according to the moon because we understand the power of Kiddush. May the day come where the Ora Levana will be like the Ora of the sun, and to Ora Shiva Smebereshiv, and we should see the Gilui Kvod Shamayim, but to understand that this world is not a world of Shana, but it's a world of Chiddush, and we should be Zoyche, V'achodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, Rishonu Lachem, L'chodesh HaShana, to put that Chiddush back into the natural world of the Shana.